Researchers estimate that the average person tells 1 to 2 lies per day. I don't know if you trust researchers. I don't know if you trust statistics. But that's what they say. 1 to 2 lies per day on average. Now, researchers in recent years have said that's good news. Because years ago, it was thought that people told as many as 25 lies per day. And so now it's down to 1 or 2, and they think, hallelujah, that's just great. We are really honest people. As Christians, 1 or 2 lies a day is way too many. Why do people lie? And notice I said people, I didn't say you. No, why do people lie? Well, I consulted my friend this week, the internet. And I talked to the internet this week and said, all right, Mr. Internet, why do people lie? And do you know there's people out there who've written all sorts of articles about why people lie? And as I'm reading these articles, I'm wondering, is this person telling me the truth as they're telling me about why people lie? You know, weird things go through this weird brain. Why do people lie? And according to researchers, according to the top articles on Google searches, here are the top reasons today that people lie. To protect themselves from harm, conflict, or punishment. Protect themselves. Or to protect somebody else from harm, conflict, or punishment. Why do people lie? To protect somebody's feelings. Some people lie to avoid embarrassing themselves. Some people lie to avoid disappointing somebody else. Some people lie to get out of an awkward situation. Other people lie to get attention or to get sympathy. Why do people lie? Some people lie to obtain a reward or to win the admiration of other people or to make themselves look better. And if we're being honest, isn't that an interesting word to use in this context? If we're being honest, some people lie to exercise power over other people so that they can control the information. Some people lie to intentionally hurt somebody else. Of course, some people lie to cover up or to maintain a previous lie that they told, and now they have to lie again to cover that one up. Of course, some people lie because that's just what they do. They have formed the habit of lying, and they are a habitual liar. It's interesting to think about when people lie. Some people lie to get a job, and so on their resume, they may have some untruths. Do you know what untruths are? They're lies. They may have some untruths on their resume. They fill out a job application. They really want this job. And so you know what they might do on that job application? They might put some untruths, some lies. Shouldn't surprise us to know that once they get that job, many of those same people are lying on the job. Not talking about just taking a nap, not just talking about that kind of lying, but lying on the job, either lying to their boss, lying to their customers, their clients, lying to some manufacturer or service provider. It's interesting how much lying is wrapped up in our jobs. So at the end of the year, we get our W-2 and we fill out our taxes. And you know what some people do on their taxes when they're talking about how much they earned in their job? Oh, they lie again. What sorts of lies do people tell? What are the most common lies told today? Here's what my friend said. The most common lies that people tell today are things like this. Be careful. Have you said any of these? People say, I'm on my way. Still sitting at home. I'm on my way. Or, I'm almost there. Not really, but I'm almost there. Oh, that's really weird. My phone must have died. Oh, I never got your message. I'll just call you right back. Traffic was really bad. You've never used that, have you? What kind of lies do people tell? Oh, that sounds really fun. I'll try to make it there. Mm-mm. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got plans that day. when you really don't. Or to say, oh, I was just kidding, when you weren't. Or when kids say, oh, Mom, my room's almost clean. Oh, Mom, I ate all of my vegetables. What kind of lies do people tell? As children of God, we need to understand that lying and deceit can have no part of our lives. Our theme for this year is being imitators of God. We've talked about a variety of things in regard to our God that we need to imitate, and we'll talk about six more before this year is out. But for the month of June, we said, you know what we need to have at least one lesson on? To talk about, as children of God, we need to be imitators of God when it comes to His truthfulness. Dan had in his prayer, and Gary mentioned in his comments, the kind of world that we live in. The kind of sick world that we live in that is following after the ways of the devil. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, and don't we know it? Well, guess what? We live in a world that's full of lies. You turn on your television, do you have a hard time believing what you're hearing? Do you have a hard time figuring out what's truth and what's a lie? Do you have some people in your life that you're not sure when they talk to you if they're telling the truth or a lie? As a child of God, there should never be any question when we talk. There should never be any question when we thumb. There should never be any question when we type that what we are saying is truth. Because as children of God, we need to be imitators of our God, imitators of His truthfulness. So what I want us to do this morning is just very simple. I want us to look at God, and I want to look at us. And I want to start by looking at God and how truthfulness characterizes our God. And I know you know that, and so we're only going to look at this for a moment. But truthfulness characterizes our God. Again, all this year we're thinking about different qualities, different characteristics of God. You think about truthfulness being a quality, a characteristic of God? We read four times through the Bible that God is the God of truth. Just let that sit for just a second. God is, how do you describe Him? Oh, He's the God of truth. That's what He is. When Jesus came, you read in the book of John how Jesus talked about God, and He would say that God is true. That's who He is. He's the God of truth. God is true. He is the true God. In John 17, when Jesus was praying, when John 17, you're reading the Lord's Prayer there in that chapter, when He prays to God, He calls God the only true God. This is our God. He's the God of truth. You read the book of Revelation, that's all about Jesus. And even the book of Revelation talks about Jesus. It says Jesus is true. Jesus said, I am the way, you know the next word? I'm the truth. This is what characterizes our God. And so it should not surprise us that you read the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms says that God keeps truth. How long does God keep truth? Forever. You know why? Because His truth endures to all generations. When you think about your God and you think about the qualities of your God, what is it that characterizes our God? One thing we need to think about is His truthfulness. The nature of God. The nature of God is such that our God cannot tell a lie. Don't you wish that we had that? Don't you wish that people that you knew had that? It is impossible. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. The God you serve is not a God that has been manufactured by man. The God you serve is not a God that we follow, that man has determined what this God is and what this God says. The God we serve is a God of truth. The God of truth. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that your God is characterized by truth? Everything that your God says, His words, are truth. I want you to think about it. Everything He says is truth. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in your Bible. It's got 176 verses in that one psalm. And the entirety of the psalm is focused on glorifying the Word of God. And you read in that psalm various synonyms for the Word of God. But each of those synonyms is tied to the word truth. Each of them says, here's the law of God, here's the commandments of God, here's the Word of God, here are the judgments of God. And it says, they are all truth. Daniel chapter 10 calls Scripture truth. Revelation 19 calls the sayings of God truth. And I know you know that, but I want us to have just reaffirmed in our hearts today that everything we read in the Bible, everything that God tells us is truth. Somebody else might tell us a lie. Even somebody might pick up a Bible and says, here's what the Bible says. Don't believe that man who's talking. Don't believe this man who's talking. Believe this word, because this is the truth. Jesus came and Jesus said, I am speaking unto you the words of truth. In Matthew 22, the people who listened to him recognize you speak unto us the words of truth. That's our God. You can trust everything that he says. His words are truth. His ways are truth. Psalm 25 says, all the paths of the Lord. How many of them? Some of them? Most of them. The majority of God's path. No, all of them. All of the paths of the Lord are truth. Everything that he does is truth. We know that up here. But how foreign is that concept to us as humans? That there could be anyone who is characterized by truth. But that's who he is. And so this morning I want us to ask ourselves, what about me? Ephesians chapter 5, the key text that we're using for this year, tells me I need, in verse 1, to be an imitator of God as dear children. As a child of God, I need to imitate him. Do I imitate God's truthfulness? If truthfulness is what characterizes my God, truthfulness is what needs to characterize me. Truthfulness is what needs to characterize all of God's people. If truthfulness is what characterized God's words, what do my words need to be? God expects my words to be truthful. I know we know that. The book of Proverbs is full of wise sayings. That's what a proverb is. It's just a wise saying. And sometimes in the book of Proverbs, it even personifies wisdom, where wisdom kind of stands up and speaks. One of those places is in Proverbs chapter 8 where wisdom is talking. Can I say this? Wisdom is talking in Proverbs 8 and verse 7, and wisdom says, my mouth will speak truth. Have you made a covenant with your mouth? I love Job 31 and verse 1 where Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon a woman to lust after her. I love that concept where Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Have you made a covenant with your mouth? Have you made a covenant with your mouth that my mouth will speak truth? And that's all that's going to come out of my mouth is truth. God says, that's what wisdom says. God commands us in Ephesians 4 and verse 25 to put away lying. Put it away. And having put away lying, he says, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Do we do that? Do we take lying and do we box it up? Do we put that, and not just... Have you ever boxed something up and you folded the four flaps in? You know what I'm talking about? You put it in a box and you fold the... Why do you fold the four flaps in? So it's easier to open up later, right? Obviously, you want to get back into it. But have you ever boxed up lying? I know you haven't because that's a weird concept. But have you ever boxed up lying? He says, put it away. When you box up lying, do you fold the four flaps in? Oh, I need to get back into this box later on. I've got some really good lies in here. I'm going to need them later on. I'm just going to fold the flaps in. Or do you tape it up? Do you put that packing tape over it? And then get your duct tape out and put your duct tape over it and say, I never want back in it. God says, put away lying and speak truth. Have we done that? Are our words like God's words? In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied with their words, and they were punished. I want you to think about what Ananias and Sapphira did in Acts chapter 5. You know what they did? They told a half-truth. Did you know that? They told a half-truth. Because what they did is they brought some money and they said, here's what we received from the sale of our property. Was that a truth? Well, it was a half-truth. It wasn't all that they received. But they made out like it was all that they received, but it was what they received. So you might call it a half-truth. What did God call it? When God looks at a half-truth, do you know what He calls it? A lie. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit, is what Peter said to Ananias in Acts chapter 5. Half-truth is the same thing as a lie. Our words need to be truthful. Our walk needs to be truthful. Not just what we say, but what we do. The way that we carry ourselves. The way that we let people see us needs to be truthful. And that starts with the fact that truth needs to be, as David said in Psalm 51. You know what Psalm 51 is about? Psalm 51 is about David pouring his heart out to God after he realized what he had done with Bathsheba and Uriah. In Psalm 51 is David pouring out his heart to God, begging God to forgive him. And in that psalm, Psalm 51 and verse 6, he says, God, I know that you desire truth in my inward parts. Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, I know he wants truth in my mouth. Yeah, well, he talked about that. But it starts with having truth in my inward parts. That truth is just who I am. It's what makes me up on the inside. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8 is where Paul says, whatever things are this, 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 whatever things are this. I think I said that 6 times. Meditate on these things. So he lists 6 qualities about life, about things. He says, if whatever is this, meditate on those kind of things. You know what the first thing is? Whatever things are true. My life needs to focus on those things that are true. There's a lot of things around us today that are not true. There are a lot of things around us today that are false, that are untruths, that are outright lies. And you know what we do sometimes? We spend too much time thinking about those things. We spend too much time dwelling on those things. Gary mentioned, Dan mentioned politics today. Is there any untruths in politics today? I'm not talking about one side or the other. I'm talking about the whole shooting match. Any untruths in that? Why do we dwell so much there? Whatever things are true, meditate on these things. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 says that God wants us to deal truthfully. Think about that. Yeah, I got my words, they need to be truthful. But do I deal with others in a truthful manner? Or do I look to deceive? Do I look to shortcut? Do I look to gain the advantage over somebody by misleading them in the wrong direction? God says He wants us to deal truth. Not just my words. Can you lie? Can you mislead without maybe telling a lie? Joseph's brothers did it in Genesis 37. Joseph's brothers, after they sold their brother Joseph into slavery, they took his coat of many colors. Have our children been in Bible class and worn that coat of many colors? Joseph's brothers took that coat of many colors. Did anybody else have a coat like that? I mean, could you go down to Walmart and get a coat like Joseph's coat of many colors? Could you get on Amazon and look up coat of many colors? Oh, there's one, and order it, and it'd be identical to Joseph's coat. No, sir, no, ma'am, you can't do that. That is a unique coat made just for Joseph. And they took it, and they put animal's blood on it, and they brought it to Dad, and they said, Dad, do you think this is Joseph's coat? Did they lie? Well, somebody might twist and turn and say, well, they didn't really lie with their mouths. What were they doing? They were dealing untruthfully with their dad, leading him down a path so that he would believe a lie, and he did. And those sons were guilty of lying in the eyes of God. If we're going to imitate our God, our words must be truthful. Our walk, our daily life must be truthful. And God reveals for us that if we will give ourselves to that kind of a lifestyle, there are all sorts of blessings that come with it. Psalm 15 begins by saying, who can dwell in the tabernacle of God? Who can dwell in the holy city of God? Who can dwell in the presence of God? Verse 2 gives part of the answer when it says, those who speak truth. When we speak truth, we're permitted to dwell in the presence of God. When we speak truth, Proverbs chapter 12 says, when we speak truth, we obtain, we receive, we are walking in the light of God's delight. Does that word delight, does that hit you fun in a fun way? Would you like to have God's delight? I mean, of all the other things that you could have from God, would you like His delight? Where God looks down upon you with delight and says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says, one of the ways that we have God's delight is when we speak the truth, when we deal truthfully. One of the blessings that we have from God, one of the blessings of telling the truth is that it sets us apart from the crowd. If everybody else is lying, does that mean it's okay for me to do it? If everybody else has been telling the teacher this lie, everybody else has told the teacher this lie, well, I'm just going to go along with them because I don't want to be the odd one out. Speak the truth. Sets me apart from the crowd. Seems like there's a book that says something about do not be conformed to this world. Have you ever read that in a book somewhere? Maybe this book? Do not be conformed to the world. Oh, everybody else is lying doesn't mean that I do it. Come out from among them, God says, and be separate, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Be different from them. If the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5 verse 19, don't let that be you. Does telling the truth, does that make you the odd one at work? Do they know that you're somebody who tells the truth? When we tell the truth, it helps to build trust and respect from others. You know, when you're growing up and you always tell your parents the truth, inside your home, your parents learn to trust you. Well, he always tells me the truth. I can trust whatever they say. What happened when you first told that lie to your parents? When you told that first lie to your parents, what happened? All of that trust that they had in you was gone. Isn't that amazing? Where you can have all of this trust, they believe what I say, and then there's just one lie, and then all of a sudden, boom, all of that trust disappears. And then what do you try to start doing? Rebuilding the trust. And it takes a while, doesn't it? I'm not talking about just child-parent relationship. It exists between husbands and wives. It exists in the workplace where one lie destroys trust and then it takes time and time and time to try to rebuild. Why? That's how powerful truth is. That's how destructive a lie is. God shows us that this is what helps us, this is what benefits us as His children, is when we're truthful. It helps us to have trust and respect in the eyes of people. When we are truthful with others, it helps us to find protection under the umbrella of truth, because truth is enduring. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19, think about this. Proverbs 12 verse 19 says, "The truthful lip shall be established forever." The truthful lip shall be established forever. Truth endures. Truth doesn't change. And so when I tell the truth, one of the benefits of that is I find protection from the truth. You know why? That's all I have to remember. If all I ever do is tell the truth, that's all I have to remember. But if I tell the truth, but then I tell a lie, now I have to remember the truth, and I have to remember the lie. And I have to remember who I told the lie to, and when I told them the lie, and if that person ever tells somebody else what I told them that was a lie, then I have to remember that that person now knows this lie, but it's not the truth. So I have to remember the truth, and I have to remember the lie. Boy, that's hard. This book says the way of the transgressor is hard. That's true. Because truth, one of the benefits, is I find protection under the banner of truth. I don't have to remember the lie and who I told it to and who else found out about it. That gets exhausting to do that. Benefit of telling the truth is that's all I've got to worry about. Now, does that mean telling the truth is easy? No, that's not suggested. Does that mean telling the truth is never going to cause you any difficulties in life? No, we're not sugarcoating anything there. But what gain is there, short-term or long-term, in telling a lie? You say, oh, well, there's these short-term benefits telling a lie. Sure, there's those that you might come up with. But then you got to remember all of the lies that you've told. I want to spend just a few minutes talking about the fact that God has warned us about the danger of lying. And I want everybody of every age to be listening to this. I want you to turn your Bible to John chapter 8. Turn your Bible to John chapter 8. And I want us to understand that when God warns us about the dangers of lying, that in warning us about the dangers of lying, God tells us, He specifies for us the origin of lies. He tells us where lies have their source. Look in John chapter 8 and verse 44, where Jesus is talking to some Jews. And interestingly, in John 8 and verse 44, He's talking to a group of Jews who believe in Him. That's interesting because there's individuals who teach that we're saved by faith alone. Well, here's some people who had faith, but they weren't saved. How do we know? Look in John 8 and verse 44. Jesus says to these individuals, "You are of your father." Who's their father? The devil. Ooh, that's hard. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." You want to do what the devil wants to do. Who's the devil? He was a murderer from the beginning. And he does not stand where? In the truth. Because there is what? No truth in him. When the devil speaks a lie, he speaks, I love the way Jesus says this, he speaks from his own. The New King James put the words resources in here, but it literally just says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own. He's speaking from his own. He is his own source. He speaks from his own self. Why? Because he is a liar and the father of it. When the devil lies, where's that lie coming from? When the devil lies, that lie is coming from the devil. When I lie, where's that lie coming from? Same place. The origin of lies is the devil. If you don't believe that, go back to Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. When Peter says to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Why did he lie to the Holy Spirit? Where did it come from? Don't misunderstand. We're not saying the devil made him do it. But it wasn't God. Ananias made a choice, led by the devil, to lie to God. God warns us about the dangers of lying and tells us where they come from. Do we want to be associated with the devil? Do we want to say our father is the devil? If we lie, our father is the devil. That's how serious lying is. How serious is lying? Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Turn your Old Testament to Proverbs chapter 6. And as you turn to Proverbs chapter 6, you might take a detour real quick in Proverbs chapter 12, where you're going to see that Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 tells us that lying is an abomination to the Lord. That doesn't sound very nice, does it? Look in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, where we're going to see God specifying for us what His response is to lying. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. The Bible says, "These six things the Lord hates." Yes, seven are an abomination to God. What sorts of things are an abomination to God? A proud look, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. Let that settle in. God hates a lying tongue. And you say, oh, okay, well, He's got lying on the list. Keep reading. What does God hate? Proud look, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Does that have anything to do with abortion? A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Look in verse 19. A false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. Of seven things that God, the Bible says God hates, at least two of them are lies. And you say, what do you mean at least two? The last one on the list is whoever sows discord among brethren. Guess what that could be? Telling a lie. At least two, if not three, of the things that God says I hate in a list of seven have to do with lying. How serious does our God take lying? He's the God of truth. He's the only true God. It's what characterizes Him. And so if truth is what embodies Him, is what characterizes Him, then what is a lie going to be to Him? An abomination. He hates it. Final passage, go to Revelation chapter 21. When you go to Revelation chapter 21, and I want you to turn your Bible there, because I know you're going to say, oh, I already know this verse. I want us to turn to the book of Revelation, and I want us to see what the Bible says is the God warning us about the danger of lying, the end result of lying. You get to Revelation 21, Revelation 22, you got the last two chapters of the Bible. And a part of these chapters, you're reading about the greatness of heaven. You're reading about the song we sang this morning, God shall wipe away all their tears. That's there in Revelation 21 and verse 4. You read in Revelation 21 and verse 5 about God. And you read how God says, He who sat on the throne in verse 5 says, write these things, and the words that I'm going to speak to you in verse 5 are what? True and faithful. Why? Because that's what God is. God is true. That's His very nature. But as you keep reading, I know what you're going to find. You know what you're going to find. In verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and isn't it interesting the word that He puts before liars? Now, the word all is implied in all of the other words too. He says all the uncowardly, all the abominable, all murderers. The word all is there too. It's implied, but He doesn't just imply it. He inserts it explicitly. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Does that grab you? When God shakes from heaven on this last page of the Bible to say, don't lie. And here's the end result. If you do, you're gonna go to hell. That's not the only verse. Look in verse 27. As you keep reading in chapter 21, he describes for us heaven. And he's using human terms to describe heaven, and he's using human beauty, but it's nothing like it, but it's something to describe how beautiful heaven is. But you get to the last verse, he says, but there shall by no means enter into it, heaven, anything that defiles or causes an abomination or causes a what? A lie. So verse 8 says, liars will go to hell. Verse 27 says, oh, there's heaven? Yeah, no. No one that causes a lie shall go to heaven, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. but he's not done. You would think mentioning it once would be enough. You would think twice, come on. Twice in these last two chapters, mention something else. Three times. Chapter 22, verse 14, he says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city." Verse 15 says, but. Verse 14 is about heaven. Verse 15 says, outside. Outside what? Heaven. Outside of heaven are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Three times in the last two verses of the Bible where God is urging us to go to heaven and warning us not to go to hell, he says, get away from lying. Lying has no place inside of our homes. Half-truths, white lies, whatever you want to call them, are lies in the eyes of God. A husband should never lie to his wife. A wife should never lie to her husband. A child should never lie to his or her mom or dad, to his or her brothers or sisters. A parent should never lie to their children. Lying has no place inside of the workplace. An employee should never lie to the employer. The employer should never lie to the employees. Lying has no place in our neighborhoods. Has no place in any part of our life. There is never in the eyes of God a justification for telling a single lie. Because when we do, we are no longer imitators of our God. And if lying means we're not an imitator of God, then who are we imitating? We're imitators of the devil. May God help us. I know everything that we've talked about today, we already knew. We knew it was wrong to tell a lie. But to me, when I go back and look at these passages, and I see that truthfulness characterizes my God, and it needs to characterize me because he hates it. And I want to find delight in the eyes of my God. May God help us to imitate him. Are you one of his children? Jesus said the truth is that which will set you free. Set you free from sin and allow you to become a child of God if you've never obeyed his truth. His truth that doesn't lie, it doesn't contradict itself, it's not confusing. His truth about how to become one of his children to be saved from our sins is that we've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. And having that faith in our hearts, we need to repent of our sins, turn away from the wrong that's in our life, and to say, I want to serve my God. I want to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. If you're ready to make that decision today, you can do exactly what they did in the New Testament and confess the faith that's in your heart and be baptized, fully immersed in water, so that at that moment, not before that moment, so that at that moment you might receive the remission of sins. You know, a number of individuals have been taught that if they will believe that Jesus is God's Son, accept Him as their personal Savior, and pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart, that they will be saved. And then sometime later, maybe the next week, maybe the next month, maybe a few months down the road, they really need to be baptized, but they're already saved over here. Friends, that's not the truth. It's just not the truth. The truth of God is that I need to believe and to repent and confess my faith in Jesus. But the truth of God is, it is not until I arise and am baptized that my sins are washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. That's when my sins are taken away by the blood of Jesus, not before. If you've never been baptized so that the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins right then, why don't you do it today? There's a baptistry here with warm water, garments, towels, everything is ready for you to give your life to the Lord today. If you've already done that, the Lord expects us to be raised from that water to walk in newness of life, serving Him faithfully, abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58.
Are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? If not, why don't you make things right now as together we stand and sing.